Ramsey on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey with you as well. We are now joined by Ty Masterson. Ty, how are you doing on this lovely Tuesday morning?
I'm doing great. How about you?
We're doing outstanding. We want to know, if you get elected to higher office, will you guarantee Americans 1 month a year off for just break during the summer or anytime they want to take that?
As much as I'd like to do that, I'm not in for a king.
Oh, man, but like, if you get that in the state of Kansas, it'd be better than getting the Royals and the Chiefs if everybody got a month off. Let's go, Ty.
Probably get all the votes, right?
Yeah, you definitely would. So here we sit with Ty Masterson, the president of the state senate in Kansas. The star bonds were extended yesterday. What is the latest that you can tell us about luring the Royals and Chiefs to the state of Kansas?
Oh, I think the latest is what we were really able to determine is they really are having active, viable conversations, you know, in Kansas. That's what we were concerned about. That's what surrounded that whole conversation of whether to extend or not. Is, you know, nobody wants to be a pawn in a, you know, for somebody else negotiation. We wanted to make sure there were serious conversations going on. I was very grateful to Donovan, you know, Mark Donovan, for sending the letter and kind of confirming all that and showing people that there's some movement happening.
Yeah. So what is the latest that you can tell us? Let's start with the Royals right now. Where is the state of Kansas with the Kansas City Royals?
Just from what I can share, because I'm not in the middle of the details of it, but I know what they're looking at is a situation that probably involves more people, you know, more landowners, developers, which adds some complexity, mm-hmm. you know, to that. I think they're actively in those negotiations. I don't know exactly how close they are with that, but I think they really are. And they have to do it here within the next, you know, 60, 90 days. We extended our law to the end of the year, but that means we have to have time to look at it after they give us a proposal to look at it, to put that up for approval.
So it's up to the teams now to propose to you guys to decide whether or not you're going to accept their offer?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's they're negotiating with our Commerce Department on administrative side, right? What does the details look like from the state's perspective? You know, where are you drawing the lines around the Starbond district? You know, what is Kansas doing in that negotiation? We need to see all that and approve all that.
Where do you think the best spot would be for a baseball stadium in Kansas?
Ooh. Since I'm from South Central, I'm from Wichita, right? But I'm a sports fan. I just want them to be in the Kansas City market. I don't want to go further than that to watch baseball and football, right? I mean, I just want them to be there. I honestly, personally, don't care as long as they find a viable location.
Yeah. Because you mentioned more people and landowners and the complexity of that, you would think that there's some certain spots that have been known to be spots for maybe a stadium, and I just wondered if maybe one of those was an actual place to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think on the Royal side, they have more options just because, you know, the stadium's not going to be as big. Parking's not as big. I mean, you don't have as big a parking lot. So that just means there's more viable spots. I mean, obviously they were in the news, you know, what was that, a month ago, talking to the guys over at the Asperia campus. So mm-hmm. I know there's situations like that they're looking at.
What is the negotiation process like that right now with Occidental and the Royals? Like, do you have any idea where we kind of stand on all of that?
I mean, I have some idea, but, you know, I'm not at liberty to share
too
much of that detail.
That's fair. We're talking with Ty Masterson, the president of the Kansas Senate. And so do you anticipate having an answer on the Royals before we have an answer on the Chiefs?
Well, you know, I don't know. They both need to get it in gear and get us something right here in the next 60, 90. And I don't know if one is closer than the other, to be honest.
Is the state getting frustrated?
Oh, we were. Yeah, we were getting frustrated coming into June because everything was just kind of silent, right? I mean, you had some lobbyists talking to us, which was fine. I mean, good guys, but, hey, we need to hear from the actual team. And so that's why I was grateful for Donovan stepping up and sending his letter in.
When you see this whole thing kind of, you know, filter out, and at the end of the day, wherever they go, I just want to give you a hypothetical, Ty. Let's say they stay in Jackson sure. County. Let's say they stay on the Missouri side. Does that leave a sour taste in your guys' mouth, or is that one of those things where, like, there is that grudge, or is it just like, I'm like you said earlier, you're just glad they stay in the area?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I think the answer is no. I mean, Kansas is in the best spot ever, right? We had nothing to lose. We just wanted to make sure we had an offer on the table so they didn't leave the market, quite frankly, right? I mean, our biggest concern was something goes south over there in Missouri, you know, because they're having to deal with, you know, votes and tax increases and stuff that Kansas would have never done. Honestly, we did never pass anything like that. And so we just wanted to be a backup there to make sure they stay in the market. And if we can actually pull them over, that's a huge win for us.
What were the tax increases?
Well, you know, over there they're having to do, you know, the county's going to have to potentially do tax increases, and then they're giving up $50 million in income tax revenues, current revenues, to try to pay for that bond. See, Kansas doesn't have to raise a single tax. We didn't have to raise a tax. We didn't have to put our taxpayers online for any kind of liability for the stadium, which is a great place to be. We're all generated on growth, right? And
right.
They're building brand new. Ours is going to be covered by something that's not here already.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you say that it wouldn't be, you know, on the burden of the taxpayers for all that. Now, the Starbond District, obviously, it's a pay-to-play type of thing. If you use that area of town, then you will be, you know, assessed the tax
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, the way that works, if they're, they go in an area, particularly if they have an area that has any kind of existing businesses, the state sets a baseline of what's already there, and you can only use what grows above that.
Where do you feel as of July 8th, where this situation will be come April?
I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic on the deal, actually, for both teams.
You think Kansas can get both teams?
I do. I do. I think that's a very good possibility. But you know what? I'm not going to start crying if they just stay on the Missouri side, because I'll still be able to enjoy the games.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this, and I don't know if you guys have gotten this far down the line. Mark Donovan was asked yesterday, if you decide to go with the Missouri plan and the vote fails in April, then what? And Mark was basically like, yeah, that's a serious issue. Would Kansas come back to the table then in April if the vote failed in Missouri and say, hey, we're still here for you, or has that ship sailed?
I think that ship's going to sail, right? Because it's complex to put something together like what we did. You know, when you have 165 people trying to make a decision, it gets pretty complicated. So I think what you have with Kansas is best deals on the table, take it or leave it.
Okay, so if this thing does fail in Missouri, that means the Chiefs could potentially be open for the world, you know?
Oh, I know. No, that's what I'm hoping, that because I think it's best for the teams to stay in the market, right? These guys are business guys. I mean, so, yeah, I hope that's enough incentive for them to, you know, to get on the ball. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine the Kansas City Chiefs playing anywhere other than the metro area. I mean, we have an owner that loves the stadium, that wants it renovated, doesn't want a new one, wants to put a dome over it, wants to keep it the way it is. I mean, hell, his suite in the stadium is still the same as it was when his father was the owner of the team. I mean, that to me seems...
Don't they have even additional? They have additional complexities where if they leave the market, don't they have to have the other team owners have to have a voice in it?
Well, they do,
right?
Yes.
When they move,
right?
And stuff. I mean, here doesn't matter if you're in Missouri or Kansas. I mean, you're in your own market, and that's not a variable for them,
right? I just don't think that there's anywhere else you would go. And I mean, you know, Bob had mentioned the Browns and the Rams. I mean, the Rams had Kroenke, and the Browns are the worst ran franchise in the history of sports.
But the Rams had moved it like three times before Kroenke took over.
But I mean, I would say that the reality is it's here or there. But I also want to ask you this, because I know that you're on the Kansas side and I'm on the Jackson County side. And I think that at the first vote, you had both teams on this. Do you believe there are more Jackson County season holders for the Chiefs as if there's more Royal season holders in Johnson County?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, of course, you know, I live on the Kansas side and I see lots of fans, but I think the fan base is just as big, if not bigger, on our side of the line.
Fair point. So I would say that if they felt that if they lost the vote the first time and then all of a sudden there is actual real smoke and real talk that they could go to Kansas, how dare you take the team from my county? Would you think that that would be a scary situation? The vote did end up going to the Jackson County vote members?
Yeah, I mean, it you know, whatever's going to happen happens, but I think – you know, even if Jackson County comes up and figures it out and gets it, I mean, we still get our teams in the market. It really doesn't hurt Kansas at all. But I think it's hard to do. You got more people out there that are worried about their tax rate hikes than you have sports fans, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody's like you and I, and so you got a lot of people out there that don't give a rip about the sports teams.
Yeah, and that's my fear. My fear is that, you know, the Chiefs, let's say, pass on this. We get to April, the vote fails, and then there is no backup plan for Kansas anymore.
Yeah, no, that would be a scary situation for everybody. Hope we don't get there.
Yeah, all right, Ty, before we let you go, what do you think is going to happen? When are we going to have an answer for all of this?
You know, this is totally pulling out of my rear end, but you know, I'm going to say we'll know something around September, October.
Oh, my God, still that late? Jeez.
I do. Yeah, there's a lot of people in this, man, right? There's so many people.
All right. I thought maybe you'd say tomorrow when we get this thing done and we can all move about our summer tie. Like, you know, like, again, if you ever run for higher office, a month off every year for every worker will get you elected, I promise.
We'll name the law after you, brother.
Fair. I like it a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, take care, man.
Take care. Ty Masterson, the president of the state of Kansas Senate, with us here September or October. I don't want to do this anymore.
Wake me up when September ends, man. That's what I told you like a year ago. Before it was called Fesco and Dusty, and I was like, can you just wake me up when it's over? Like, give me the gas mask and not the Laramie. Well, maybe the Laramie Tunsil one.
Yeah, maybe the Tunsil one would be good.
I thought landowners and complexity was one of the biggest things I got out of that interview. I just figured there were some locations that maybe we would have that wouldn't matter, but maybe, hey, more people want to get involved and it's going to make things a little bit more different, but we'll see.
Man, there's one location in Kansas. It's under 19th. Let's not kid ourselves here.
All right, Mac.
On the come. On the come.
It's Tuesday.
On the come.
There you go. Bob, your name's on the list first.
All right. I'm going to go with Rob Manfred right now. I know a lot of people don't like the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and it's easy to rip on the commissioner of every sport. But getting Bobby into the All-Star game with the commissioner exemption, getting Kershaw in, everything that he's done really over the last, since COVID, has been good for the game, and I think has made the game better. Now, I know we're getting ready to have this labor situation, and that could change everything. But Rob Manfred has sped up games. He's made some smart moves. We get the jerseys back for our teams in the All-Star game. We've had the pitch clock. Like, baseball's in a really, really good spot right now. Even with the opt-out on the TV deal, they're having their highest ratings ever. Now ESPN's like, hang on a second. We maybe need to talk to you guys because you're delivering a great number now for us. So I think Rob Manfred's kind of on the come right now.
Okay. Mac, you're number two on the list.
So does he need to change the way the All-Star voting's done? Because it's not really on him. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he made the commission. He was smart enough to make the commissioner exemption. Bobby Witt Jr. should be in the All-Star game. Clayton Kershaw should be in the All-Star game. No, I don't think we need to change the vote. Bobby's not having a good season.
Okay.
You know?
I mean.
Yeah, I don't think we need to change the voting at all.
I think Bobby's having a great season. He's hitting 300. He's got 13 home runs.
To Bobby's standards?
He's hitting 300, has 13 home runs, has 30 doubles, and is playing gold glove caliber shortstop.
Yeah, you see that here, but nobody else does, right? That's the problem with baseball.
But that's not the argument. Know? The argument is having a good season, not if he's noticeable or not. I agree with that. He's in Kansas City. It sucks. But, I mean, he's still
also the leading vote getter plays in Sacramento, so.
Yeah, that is the argument. It's not really about the market,
no.
Right? Yeah. Najee Harris, on the come.
It's today.
We don't really get to talk about certain stuff in the offseason, so it just gets me a chance to get a little nerdy here in fantasy with you. Jim Harbaugh has been talking about Najee Harris for years, but especially this offseason. He wanted him in Michigan. He didn't get him. That was his big recruit. And what does he do? He goes and gets him when he's finally a free agent on his NFL team. They drafted Omarion Hampton in the first round or the second round. I think Najee Harris is going to be the bell cow. This is a guy who uses one running back on every team he's ever coached, NFL or college. Everyone's like, ooh, fantasy guys like Omarion Hampton. This guy's a sleeper. No, he's not going to get the ball. He's going to run Najee Harris into the ground. And whether that's better or worse, Najee Harris is going to get a lot of usage in L.A.
I think he's going to be a colossal failure. I think he's like the prom queen that you were in love with in high school, and then 15 years later, you finally get to date her, and she's, you know, not the prom queen anymore.
Wow, man.
He thinks he's getting Derrick Henry. He's not.
So Harbaugh, like, okay, great. You got an aging running back. Yes, let's see what you can do, man. Yeah.
Let's do it, man.
He's excited.
Anything that makes your team worse, I mean.
Yeah, I'm good for it. But, like, everybody covets players. Like, I've always wanted that guy.
Yes.
And then you have an opportunity to get that guy, and you get him, and you're like, I wanted that guy, not this version of that guy.
Exactly. And now I think it's the upwards. People are like, Najee Harris. I don't want Najee Harris. I want this new shiny Omarion Hampton. This is awesome. People are going to be like, oh, damn, this was the year for Najee Harris, right? Yeah.
So you take Najee Harris in, like, the sixth round of fantasy this year?
Oh, yeah.
Let him slide right in there on your bench after you already have your two starting running backs and then use him as trade bait. I like that.
Yeah, he's going to get 20 carries a game.
You want to get fat? My on the come is McDonald's.
Hey.
Better believe it. And I'll tell you why. They have announced pricing for the snack wraps official U.S. return,
ooh,
and that is in 2 days, boys.
2 days?
Not today.
Let's
two
go.
Days.
How much is the snack?
$2.99.
Okay.
So you can get one that's spicy. Looks like it's got like a spicy sauce. And then you have one that's ranch. It's got that
what do you call it, that fake hell chicken strip in it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. That's kind of what it looks
they,
like.
They and see, we've seen this coming. It's been on the come. They released the chicken strips.
That's true, yes.
Now their breakfast item has a spicy sauce you can put on the McMuff, on the bisque, all that sort of stuff. And now they have the snack wrap that has the same spicy sauce, the chicken strip, the lettuce, and the cheese, and the tia.
Isn't that how a good restaurant works? You have like three ingredients. You make 27 different items.
Yeah, exactly.
Mama Chiladas. Yes.
Yeah, Mama Chiladas in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah, see? So there you go. So
Mama Lattas enchiladas.
There you go.
They got three enchiladas. Once they're gone, they're gone.
You know, I love it.
I love places like that. There was a place in Warrensburg called Mary Jane's Cafe. This is before legal.
Mary Jane.
Yeah, that's where you had your first dance. And it was a breakfast joint. And when she was out, it was out. Like you, like, hey, we've got eggs and hash browns left. I guess that'll do.
Isn't there anything?
I guess so.
There's nothing wrong with that as a restaurant, is there?
The food is fresh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. Why do you have a surplus of frozen patties back there? Mm-hmm. Like,
right. Yeah. Hey, well, once we're out, and we close for the day.
There's a place in Grain Valley, I think. It's off Colburn and Snybar Road, and it's called Porky's Barbecue. And same thing. When we're out, we're out. So it's like they make, you know, 40 racks of ribs a day. Once those ribs are gone, it's pulled pork or brisket for you. Once that, you get how it works.
Yeah, man. But, once it's, but I kind of like places like that. So
you know it's fresh.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what, like, we used to, at Jack Stack, we used to run out of food all the time on, like, Friday and Saturday nights. They're like, oh, you're out of that? I'm like, yeah. They're like, well, that sucks. I'm like, yes and no. And they're like, what do you mean by no? I'm like, well, now you know that, like, this food is fresh. Like, if we don't have it, we don't have it. Like, we don't just freeze all this meat back here. So it's like,
yeah.
You know,
no, that's a good thing. Yeah. So Mama Lotta enchiladas. They have three different kinds of enchiladas.
I'm about to go get two snack wraps on
Thursday.
Why not?
Oh, absolutely.
How big are they going to be? Same size, everything? Or?
Probably.
They were really huge last time.
No, I know. That's what I'm like.
$299.
Buckner Tarsney. That's what it is. Buckner Tarsney.
I think $299 is a little expensive.
If you're getting, you know.
You sound like me now. Back in my day, you can get the quarter pounder meal or the Big Mac meal. And the number one was $2.99.
Well, it's funny. I scroll down in the comments and they show the original snack route, $1.50.
Oh, yeah.
So we've doubled.
Yeah, it's also 2026 almost. Like,
yeah.
Tariffs.
The people complain. I can't believe the prices went up. When was the last time you went to McDonald's, sir? Well, it was in the 90s. Well, it's been 30 years.
Somebody says, so dollar per bite.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
That's why I ask, how big are they?
You get two of those and a medium fry, you probably don't need to eat the rest of the day. But, hey, you know, like.
But you just drop like $15, right? How much is a medium fry?
$3.29.
Jeez.
Okay, so you're three, that's nine. You're over $10, and then you're going to get a drink.
Shout out to Emily. If you go on Friday, it's Fry Friday, so you get a free fry using the app, and then you'll have to pay for the two wraps.
I
ain't done.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Do they have a free wrap Wednesday?
That'd be great.
Because that should be. It's a W. Wednesday wrap.
Come on.
I mean, check your apps. You know what I mean? Yeah, Buckner Tarsney. My bad. My bad. Shout out to all those people out there. But yeah, that's on the come. On the come. Rob Manfred. Najee Harris.
And the snack wrap.
You don't what a threesome.
I mean, you don't get more variety than that, baby. Today's